Well, good evening, everyone. Tonight's lesson, it's called Why We Need Salvation and How to Get It. This may be a part one or a part two, just depending on how long this is going to take. As we go through this lesson, I want you to kind of pay attention to these small, tiny words like two and three letter words like the, it, my, as we go along and see just how much they weigh in the context that they're used. Now, why we need salvation? I think we need to establish some things first so we can talk about the why. The first part of Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, the scripture is telling us that it is foolish to think that there is no God. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. The firmament. Firmament means a sphere or world. So the Bible is telling us that the world shows us his handiwork. So it is foolish to think that there is no God. Because God is real. He's more real than you and I. If we go back to the beginning, nothing happened until God said something. Amen. If you go back to Genesis, you see all those, and God said. So nothing happened until God said something. So he literally spoke everything into existence. So nothing exists without God say so. Amen. So God is real. His laws are real. Like the law of reaping and sowing, the law of gravity. See, you thought Sir Isaac Newton invented the law of gravity. That's one of God's laws. Amen. And they work. They work whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not, or even know about it. I can climb to the tallest building in this city and scream, I don't believe in the law of gravity, all the way down. I can climb up there and say, I don't like the law of gravity. It will only end in my demise. I could take a newborn baby who knows nothing about the law of gravity. Same result. It works. The law of compensation and the law of gravity work just as good as each other, only they're on a different time frame. That's the only difference. So let's take a pause for a minute and let's talk about what the scientists and the evolutionists like to talk about. This is from Walden University. Six criteria of science. There's six things, six criteria required for science to be science. Now listen to these. It needs to be consistent, observable, natural, predictable, testable, and tentative. Now, I don't understand that last one. That's kind of confusing to me. Because tentative means like not certain or not fixed. Provisional, done without confidence. It's hesitant, they're kind of contradicting themselves. And as far as evolution, when they start saying, 65 million years ago when this happened, if we extract two words from this criteria, observe and test, well, so much for that argument, because we can't observe anything that happened 65 million years ago, and it sure can't be tested. So they kind of contradict their own criteria with their criteria. Now, there's two other words that I want to extract out of there: natural and predictable. Now, those two criteria kind of point us right back to the Bible. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is, and as it is appointed unto man to die once, but after this, the judgment." So we have an appointment with death. Mm-hmm. It's on the calendar somewhere. It might float around. I don't know how it really works, but it's on there. And we're going to keep it. But after this, there's judgment. Now, if the one that has the say-so is telling us that there is judgment, maybe we should listen. Mm-hmm. And there's different kinds of judgment. There's evaluation type of judgment, and there's condemnation, just naming two. So we have lots of different kinds of judgment, and the one that has to say so is telling us that judgment is coming. Now, let's go to Luke 16. Most of us here are familiar with this story. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, as we, I'm thinking about this story here, and I think I'm going to, in the interest of time, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit and pick up the reading. Luke 16. I'm in the wrong page here. When you get these new Bibles, the pages stick together. Luke 16. Okay. The rich man had everything in life. The Lazarus, the poor, he was poor, and he sat at the gate and begged for crumbs, and the dog licked his sores. Now let's pick up the reading at verse 22, where something happens here. The Bible says the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Now let's focus on verse 23 here. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger into water to cool my tongue, because I am in this agony. I am in agony in this fire." Now, that sounds like judgment to me. Mm-hmm. Upon death, we can see now that there is instant judgment. Now, we're talking about salvation and why we need salvation. Because the one who has to say so has told us that judgment is coming. We're getting a snapshot of what this judgment looks like. Because the rich man is in agony. So, why or how? Got my pages mixed up here. So now the rich man experienced judgment instantly. Now let's look at another instant of judgment. Now, just keep in your mind this rich man. And we were talking about different kinds of judgment also. Let's go to Revelation 20, chapter 20. We're going to pick up the reading at verse 12. And the Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So we have these books and the book. And this reads like the dead are being judged. This judgment that the one who has to say so told us is coming, they're being judged by those things that are written in the books. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Mm-hmm. Now, remember that appointment we had with death that we're not getting out of? That is a physical death. This second death is talking a spiritual death. Amen. We don't have any say-so in the first death. That's unavoidable. But we can actually opt out of this second death, if we choose to. Verse 15, and whosoever was found, whosoever was not found, written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. So to avoid what happened to the rich man, we need to have our name in this book. So how do we get in this book? How do we get in this book if we want to avoid the second death judgment? We need to be in this book. Well, Romans 6:23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Bible is telling us that we need to be in Christ. Now we're talking about why we need salvation. Because the one who has to say so is telling us, if you don't have salvation, there are some things that await you that aren't too pleasant. But he's also provided a way to get our name in this book through and being in Christ. Now, since we are to be in Christ, let's go to John 14, pick up the reading at verse 1. Let's see what Christ has to say. John chapter 14, verse 1. Now, let's review. We need to be, judgment is coming. We need to have our name in the book to avoid judgment. The way to avoid the judgment is to be in Christ. And Christ is telling us this. John 14, chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, hold that word believe in your head. Let's just let that cook in your head as we move along here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you. I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus is telling us, what awaits us on the opposite side of this judgment if we have our name in the book. If our name is in the book. Romans 10, verse 13, 14, and 17. Let's take a look at that. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." So we need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to I know we hear these verses a lot and they sound familiar, but I'm going slow on purpose. I want these words to sink in a little bit. Because a lot of times we hear these first principles and we just whistle right by them. We have to call the name of the Lord. Because everything is in Christ. And the Lord is saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Call on me," is what he's telling us. But verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How then shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And the preacher is not somebody standing behind the pulpit. The preacher is anyone who is proclaiming the gospel. So that's how they hear. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." It's impossible to please him. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him." Now we have something else that's being introduced here, the word faith. Faith is being introduced now. Because now we're talking about why we need salvation and how do we get it. So since faith has just been introduced, how do we get faith? Well, the Bible says, Romans 10, 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So that's how we get faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How do we get that faith? We have to hear the word of God. Isn't that what that said, the word of God? So not the president. Not hearing by Hollywood, not hearing by the Pope, not even hearing by Grandma or Grandpa. We have to hear by the Word of God to obtain faith. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth Lord Jesus, and believe, there's that word again, in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Not into, but unto. And so now we have another element that's being introduced here. Confess. Confess. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16. I want to pick it up at verse 13. So, let's see if I'm in the right book here. Got to get used to this new Bible. Throwing me off here. Okay, Matthew 16:13. Now, when Jesus came into the region of the Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. So now we have a confession being made. Now we just read Romans 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth. Now we're here in Matthew and we have Peter making a confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not confessing sins. He's making a confession. And Jesus answered him based on what his confession was. And Jesus said, "Blessed art you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," or that statement of truth, "that I am indeed the Son of the living God." That's what he's saying. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." My meaning belonging, it meaning singular. So Jesus is talking about establishing his church, only one. And based on that confession that Peter made, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, I'm putting a lot of focus on this because a lot of people will talk about, when it comes to salvation, confessing their sins. You hear a lot of televangelists talking about that. Pray this sinner's prayer. It's not in the book. It's not in the book. And we're trying to figure out how to get into this book the right way so we can avoid judgment. So let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter. We are talking about a confession that was made, that Peter made. So we were talking about believing. We discussed faith. We discussed confession. We're going to dig down a little bit more about this confession and introduce some other things that are required to get our name in this book. Verse 26, "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over her treasury and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake his chariot.' So Philip ran him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?'" Do you understand what you're reading? The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get an understanding. And sometimes we need a little help to get that understanding, which Philip was about to give this eunuch. He said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearers, he's silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, at this scripture, and preached Jesus to him. King James Version said, then Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 36, now as they went down the road, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip began at the same scripture and preached Jesus unto the eunuch. As they went along, the eunuch is saying, hey, here's water. And then Philip said, weren't you paying attention? I'm talking to you about Jesus. Why are you asking me about baptism? Is that in your Bible? It's not in mine either. It's not in mine either. That's not what he told him. Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, when you preach Jesus unto somebody, you are preaching salvation unto somebody. And as they came to a certain water, this is what you call a necessary inference. The eunuch is asking, why can't I be baptized now? What's stopping me? Philip didn't say, well, why don't you wait until the fourth month and the third week and we'll get back to you. He didn't answer that way. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And Philip understood that. So then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, it's a eunuch saying this, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the confession that brought life to Philip, to the eunuch. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Same confession that Peter made. So, but now we introduce baptism. One more element that we're going to come back to in a minute. Acts 17 and 30 says this. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So now we have another element being introduced that will get us into Christ. When we're into Christ, it'll get our name in that book. These are the things that are required. So now we introduce repentance. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter, the day of Pentecost. I'm going to paraphrase it and get you up to speed. And we're going to get you... We'll pick it up at verse 36. What was going on the day of Pentecost, everyone was there, devout men. The Holy Spirit came. The disciples started speaking in tongues. And they were asking, aren't these Galileans? How is it that we understand them in our own language? So it wasn't that gibberish. It wasn't that. They're asking the question, how is it that we hear them in our own language that we were born in? That was the speaking in tongues. And so Peter, and then they said, well, they must be drunk. And Peter stands up and says, no, this is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's drunk. But what you are witnessing is from the prophet Joel. And he goes on to talk to him and explain them, which I don't have time to get into, but a great many things. But then when he got to verse 36, he said, therefore, based on all the things he just said, let all the house of Israel know that all the house of Israel know that assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. King James Version said they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, when we, a little side note here, that's how you know somebody is sincerely sorry. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. If they have wronged you, they're going to ask you, what can I do to fix this. That's how you know somebody's really sorry. That's what they did. What shall we do? We messed up. We've killed the Son of God. What shall we do? So Peter answered him. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now we've talked about repentance. Now baptism is in place. The eunuch went down into the water with Philip and got baptized. Peter is telling the first, on the day of Pentecost, the establishment of the church, he's telling them you need to repent for the remission of sins. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Not baptized unto. You are baptized into Christ. That's how we get into Christ, through baptism. So now we get into Christ through baptism. Now we are in Christ. Now we get our name in the book. Mark 16:16 says, if you, he that believes and is baptized, you shall be saved. I'm going to wrap this up, but I'm going to ask you a few questions first. Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is baptized, you shall be saved. If I said to you peanut butter and, you would probably say jelly. If I said Laverne and, I'm going to date some of you guys. If I said Abbott and, you're going to say. So we understand and. We understand that. So when the Bible tells us, he that believes and is baptized, you will be saved. It puts you in Christ. Get your name in the book, opt out of that second death. Now, as I look out here in this audience, pretty sure that everyone here has their name in the book. But there may be some that are watching online that may be unsure. And so if you're unsure, I would recommend and encourage you to call us, and we will help you get your name in the book. The lesson is yours. If you have a need for prayer, want to make a confession, then now is the time to do it. As we stand, are led by in the invitation song by Daryl.